Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. Wednesday's spiritual warfare topic is on witchcraft, why so many young black people are gravitating towards witchcraft. Paul, welcome to the show, brother.
Jess, thank you. Hey, Jess, I was watching the news this morning, and I heard that former Senator Rick Santorum was fired from CNN for making what CNN and the cancel culture says is a statement that could offend Native Americans. He simply said, at its founding, America was a blank slate. You know, not long ago, they went after Father Junipero Serra, who brought the Native Americans Jesus, Jess. In sacred scripture, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jess, are we trying to cancel God next?
Absolutely. And you're going to hear a video right now about witchcraft trying to cancel God. You're going to hear several young black women talking about them leaving Christianity for witchcraft.
I honestly believe Jesus was one of the most toxic relationships I've ever had in the entirety of my life.
You shouldn't keep your magic in the dark. Like, this is your soul. You need to share it to the world.
Let it rain on me now. So be it. So it is.
I was a super Christian. I was raised in the church. I was a worship leader. I'm like singing all over the place and touring over here and crying out to God. How many times have I prayed to Jesus to show up for things that were actually needed and he didn't show up?
Melissa Whetstone grew up as a preacher's kid, but 12 years ago, she left the church. She says the community felt toxic and she didn't feel a personal connection to Jesus.
Hi, how are you? I need the frankincense and mercy is here.
She eventually discovered Lukumi, a religion that was brought to Cuba by enslaved West Africans.
It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's a beautiful community spirit. You're learning and growing with other people, so I really love it.
Black folks have left the church in higher numbers over the last decade than ever before, and younger generations are even less likely to affiliate with the church. But many young people are still seeking spirituality, and some are reviving traditions from Africa and the Caribbean through practices that connect them with their ancestors.
This is my bóveda, or my altar. A few glasses of water. That's just for my specific ancestors who watch and look over me. I have liquor that my uncle likes, you know. Gotta make sure he still gets lit on the other side. I feed them, I talk to them, I spend time with them. Like, this is my place to be.
So can you talk about some of the differences in what you study now to what your relationship was with Christianity then? What are you getting out of Lukumi that you didn't find in
the Christian church? I get answers to my prayers. That I tell people that all the time. Like, when they're like, what's the difference? I'm like, because my prayers are answered. Like, that's one. When I come to my altar and I pray to my ancestors and I actually take my time to cry out, not only do I get responses, I get physical manifestations and answers.
You were born into a household where your dad was a pastor?
Yes.
How is that relationship with him now, and how did your family react?
I'm the black sheep of my family. I love my family to death. They love me, but we don't see eye to eye. They're like, girl, you're going to hell, you're going to burn. And I'm like, if I was going to burn, I'm pretty sure we will be burning together.
Ironically, it is often because of that kind of religious conservatism that people move out.
Dr. Yvonne Chereau studies African and indigenous religions.
A lot of these religions came to the United States after the Middle Passage, after the period of slavery. Like other immigrants, they bring their cultures and their religions. But because when they come to the United States, they're often met with hostility, they tended to be secretive.
Can you talk about the role that social media has played? Because especially if we're talking about the younger generation, they might not be as dedicated to being ordained and, you know, kind of doing all these rituals. But if I go up and down my timeline, now everybody's a witch. Everybody's burning sage.
prior to the turn of the 20th century. They utilized the internet or whatever media was available in order to be spiritual entrepreneurs. They would sell goods and services. They would treat clients and so forth. With the coming of the digital age, and in particular social media, I really feel like younger people are grabbing on to some of the digital trends where they can sort of brand themselves as practitioners. It's a kind of identity to be a part of this. So the internet and social media has certainly helped to popularize it, but I really do feel strongly that this is something of a movement in that young Black people, they are reaching back, they are recovering that which is ancestral, but they're doing it in their own way.
Majori is a 29-year-old fashion designer living in New York who practices witchcraft. She casts spells with a coven of other young witches.
We're making money jars. So we're adding different herbs that manifest prosperity, money, success. I feel like, you know, Hollywood and like in the movies, they kind of like gave this idea that, you know, magic was scary. And it's like, is this scary? It's not.
Would you consider this your religion as opposed to being Catholic?
Yes, definitely. Divination is my main form of like spiritual practice, but being Catholic too, it still like resonates and there's like some roots in there. I feel like Catholicism is extremely witchy. I mean, drinking the blood of Christ, I mean, you know, the whole sacrament, that's a ritual. Like, it is witchcraft. They just don't want to call it that. I just feel like we kind of need to get rid of that taboo mentality of like, this is something that is like evil or, you know, harmful, because it's not at all. It's the complete opposite of that.
Do you feel like in the last 5 to 10 years or so that is happening?
Because of social media, there's a huge surge of giving a light to the divination community and like witchcraft and everything, and people are now being more vocal about their practice and being more comfortable expressing themselves and showing their craft, and I think that's very beautiful.
This is Ultra Magica, or crystals, coming out of the broom closet. So I have Majori, the punk priestess, here in the flesh.
For many young spiritualists, the online community has replaced the one they might have had at church, but without the strict mandates that come with other religions.
I'm not the type of witch that likes to subscribe to rules. I just do whatever it is I please. If it doesn't fit the spell, I will improvise. It is what it is.
I feel like the rules, it's like oppressive. We need to have, you know, the system. You have to be a certified like tarot reader. And it's like, I want to like dismantle and get rid of that, because that's not what healership really is. You don't.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. You don't have to subscribe to these rules, because like, who's telling you these things? It's again, like, have your own independent thought. That is what divination is.
So today we're in Southfield, Michigan for the Detroit Hoodoo Festival, and dozens of spiritualists from around the country have come together. They all practice something different under the African traditional religious practices, but this is significant because 20, 30 years ago, these things were done in secret, so now they're gathering here at this hotel behind me for classes, workshops, there's vendors, and they're all just here to celebrate this new birth of spirituality.
I want to thank everybody for coming to the first annual Detroit Hoodoo Festival. First up, we have a wonderful, powerful priestess, someone who really has a working grasp of the spirit, a working grasp of the traditions, a working grasp of how to facilitate and create changes in your life. So please, if you would, welcome my sister, a powerful priestess, Ms. Ifa Ebeu.
Hi, y'all beautiful people. How are y'all? First of all, thank you.
Ifa Ebeu is Melissa's spiritual mentor in the Lukumi faith.
The Bible is the biggest spell book known to man. We just don't know how to use it.
Ifa was initiated into Lukumi 4 years ago, but has been practicing divination through tarot card readings since the 90s.
So what was that experience like 20, 30 years ago, reading tarot cards?
In New Orleans and stuff, they call you root people, root workers, conjure people, and things like that. So it was taboo. It wasn't as it is now. That was a no-no. You'll come after church. When the lights are out, you'll come at night and, you know, get your reading or whatever work you need done. But it wasn't out like now. You would go in New York and Central Park and you got a table full of everybody reading.
20, 30 years ago when you were doing tarot and things in secret, could you imagine that in 2021 you'd be at a Detroit Voodoo Festival teaching a class?
Now, I will say this. The person that started to do this, to take it out on the road, a lot of spiritual people were against it. They were like, no, it's going to bring a lot of negative. It's going to make spiritual people look horrible. But we still did it because people now have a hunger.
How do you see these traditions and these religions evolving in the next 5 to 10 years?
I see that more and more people who study this are seeing the health benefits, the mental health benefits, the healing benefits of religion and spirituality. It may not be conventional. It may not be what your parents did. But it's really, this is something that I think is going to grow, and it might be more broadly accepted because it works.
Let us be sun-drenched and beaming, anointed, let it rain. Let it rain on me now. So be it. So it is.
And so it is.
Jesus 911, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're going to make an analysis of why so many young black women are embracing witchcraft. They're leaving Christianity, Protestantism, Catholicism, embracing witchcraft. We're going to be talking about that for in the rest of the program. Just want to mention that June 6th, Bishop Olmsted is going to have a Eucharistic Congress here in downtown Phoenix. He wants all the men to participate. June 6th, Phoenix, Arizona, Eucharistic Congress with the Blessed Sacrament and the Bishop around the entire city of Phoenix. We'll be right back. Talk about witchcraft. Analyze it with some Catholic bifocals. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. Paul, we just watched a video. Several young black women who are attracted to witchcraft, they've left Christianity, Protestantism, and Catholicism, and they've embraced what I would call a doctrine of demons. For the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about, I think there's 10 reasons why I think this happens. And I want to just have a discussion with you about this. Paul's a black Catholic, retired cop. I've known Paul for 30 years, also served our country in the military. So Paul's been a patriot and a Catholic, a lifelong Catholic. Paul, here's the first thing I see with these young women, why they're attracted to witchcraft is, nobody really led them to Christ. And what I mean by that is they had no patriarchal protection. When you look at the Bible, a family is protected by the father, and a family should be protected by the husband. The husband and the father have headship, and they should lead the family to Christ. As I watched this video, to me, it seemed like there was no patriarchal protection with these young ladies. What say you?
Yeah, Jess, by the way, it's nice to be on with somebody who's an expert in this subject as far as, understanding, you know, how demons attack Christians. So it's nice to be on with you. But I'll just tell you right off the bat, if you notice, Jess, the lady claimed that she was a pastor's kid. Right. And that just jumped out at me because we know, and we discuss this all the time, that Satan often attacks us through our children.
That's right.
Our children who, for whatever reason, don't embrace the things of God, and they start getting led down a path of deception, and they open up doors of influence that are designed, number one, to attack, in this case, her father, who was a pastor. And of course, because he was a pastor and not a Catholic and didn't understand, he can offer these things up to Christ and he just didn't understand the fullness of the gospel.
Right.
This is what I see right off the bat she had some type of a religious background, but of course not the fullness of the faith. And she was unprotected because she didn't have all of the truth.
That's right. This is called retaliation in spiritual warfare, where demons, because of the father's malformed conscience, is not practicing the fullness of truth, the diabolical attack, the sacramental construct, the marriage, and the children. But let me just give you a little bit about a little definition of witchcraft, okay? Because these we're dealing with a couple of young women who have embraced witchcraft and rejected Christianity. I'll tell you what's witchcraft in the Old Testament, by the way, it was a death penalty offense. This is how much it offended God. In the Old Testament, yes, it was a death penalty offense. And in the New Testament, it's called a mortal sin. Because what witchcraft basically is, it's a desire to be a spiritual free agent without submitting ourselves to God or without any regard to God's word. And what witchcraft does, Paul, it attracts people that want to be spiritual. They want to know the future. They want power, and they want to lead others without submitting to God. So what I call witchcraft is it's spiritual prostitution. It really is.
Yes.
And the Old Testament calls witchcraft a rebellion against God. A rebellion against God, because there's a desire. There's a desire to be a spiritual leader and a spiritual warrior without God. You're like a mercenary. You're like a mercenary.
Yes. Well, it's all spiritual, and for those people who are ignorant, Jess, and they don't understand that this is a spiritual battle we're involved in, and souls are at stake. So in the case of these women who want to usurp the position of God, did you hear the one lady when she said that her prayers are answered?
Yes.
First and foremost, my prayers are answered, as if God, the God of heaven and earth, does not answer prayers. But see, her prayers were not answered just in the way that she wanted them answered. She says, I actually have physical manifestations,
yes,
of my answered prayers. I'm reminded, Jess, the time when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world, Jess, and he says, this can all be yours. I will give it to you immediately, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. And the only caveat was, you have to bow down and worship me. And you see, and this is what Satan does. Satan offers us the world, because he is the God of this world. And I'm just reminded of Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew. And he says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
Absolutely. You're right, Paul. These young women, they say that their prayers are answered by their ancestors. Well, who's more powerful, your dead ancestors or the Lord God Almighty of heaven and earth, who always was, always is, and always will be? I'll tell you.
Amen.
I'll tell you who answered her supplications or her petitions. They were demons. Okay?
Yes. It's
because
yes.
The Psalm 95 once again says the gods of the Gentiles are demons. A lot of people, Hispanics, Blacks, Caucasians, Asians, that are involved in ancestral worship. Is this what it is? It's communication with the dead, Paul.
And this is familiar spirits.
It's called necromancy. This is rejected in Deuteronomy chapter 18.
Yes.
They're not talking to their ancestors. They don't realize that they're talking to demons. And they're looking for power without going to the power source himself, which is Almighty God. Comment?
Right. Yep. Yeah, Jess, these familiar spirits that they're tapping into, again, they are designed to really, literally shipwreck their faith. You know, I had an observation, Jess. Did you hear the part where she said, these things, when they were putting the money jar, they were doing their incantation or whatever, making these money things or whatever. And she says, we want health, we want wealth, and we want prosperity. And I said, well, that sounds familiar. I said, the old name it and claim it brand of Christianity, the word faith teaching, promises to give all of those things. But guess what? In that brand of Christianity, Jess, they never deliver. And of course, Satan is basically in that form of Christianity is trying to frustrate Christians into saying, see, God doesn't answer your prayers. You've done all these things that this pastor told you to do, and yet all of these things are still out of your grasp. Whereas these women who are practicing these incantations, all of a sudden they ask for those things and they get them. You see, this is how demons work. On the one hand, he's, you know, because they have a poor form of Christianity, he's, you know, undermining faith in God, because those people are truly seeking God. And they just, you know, they've unfortunately got onto a wrong path at seeking him, where they're hearing lies instead of the truth. And so on that end, he's shipwrecking their faith. But these women who are practicing this witchcraft, he's granting them everything that they ask for, showing in a sense he's sending a message: I'm more powerful than God. Worship me.
We're commenting, Paul Clay, just remember, we're commenting on this video. It had several young black women that left Christianity, Protestantism, Catholicism, and they've embraced witchcraft. A narrow definition of witchcraft is basically this: witchcraft, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It's a series of rituals, spells, and incantations and actions that attempt, whether they realize it or not, to contact the demonic realm to try to get spirits to cooperate with them with whatever they want to do. And so what, even if they don't realize it, some witches say, oh, we don't talk to Satan. He has nothing to do with witchcraft. The fact is, it's a subset of Satanism, because they'll say, we're contacting spirits. Well, there's only two types of spirits in the spiritual realm: angelic spirits and demonic spirits. And when, yes, when you're calling spirits to do incantations, rituals, and spells, trust me, you're not calling your guardian angel. Paul, another error that I saw here is, again, it's very narcissistic, the cults, witchcraft, the occult. My will be done. One of the young Hispanic witches, I'm not sure if she was Hispanic. She may have been, but she admits that she doesn't follow any rules. She said it real proudly, even as a witch. She says that she does as she pleases. She says, yes, rules are oppressive. And, right, and they look at Christianity. One of the black professors that came on said, well, it's too conservative. And one of the other ones said that to be a witch is to be independent. Again, right, this goes back to one of the tenets of Satanism, which, yes, is do what thou wilt, that is the whole of the law, versus Christianity, right, Matthew 6, thy will be done. Complete difference, yes, Paul.
Yes, listen, God is the God of law and order, Jess. God, you know, that's what Trump used to say, right? Law and order. He's the law and order president. But God literally is the one who is the God of law and structure. And so mankind is continually fighting against, I think it talks in Psalm 1 about, let us break away, you know, from God, because his, it's too structured. He's too confining. You know, we want to do our own thing. Like Frank Sinatra said, we want to do it our way. You know, we have to remember, just like you said, witchcraft is not some harmless expression of religion. It is empowered by demons. It is mankind dabbling in forbidden magical practices using, or should I say, misusing the creation, right? Because if you notice our sacraments, God takes the things in creation in order to redeem creation, right? In order to recreate. So they're misusing the creation to an evil end. In other words, man doesn't need God. He can create his own destiny.
Mm, that's right. Paul, and I'll tell you what's happening to those young people. The fact is, they don't know their faith. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know the Christian doctrine, because so many of that generation, they no longer go to any church, Paul. So they don't have they don't have the spiritual armor needed to protect themselves. So they're being bombarded by this very anti-Christian media. And again, the public school education that they're getting also, where you have, Harry Potter is basically mainstream. And so in view of all this paganism, these young kids are growing up with, it seems to be charming and fascinating to our children.
Yes.
And they're looking at Christianity as something that's outdated and bigoted and and unresponsive. Right. Yes, so our kids are being lured into this, the occult, which makes it critical for parents to be very discerning, and to make sure that we're praying for our children and living our own faith as well, so that the grace of our faith and prayers falls upon our children.
Amen.
Jesus 911, we'll be right back. Jess Romero, Paul Clay, stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're talking about a couple of young black women in this video that have left Christianity, have embraced witchcraft. And I just want to offer a little prayer for them. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that came down upon Pentecost, come down powerfully upon these young women and illuminate their minds and hearts and strengthen their will, that they may come to the fullness of truth, which is you, Lord Jesus Christ, and the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Remove the blinders, the diabolical blinders from their Mother Mary. Wrap them in the mantle of your motherly protection, St. Joseph, terror of demons. Pray for them and protect them. St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, pray for them and protect them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul, talking about this video, another thing, again, I just see a lot of cultures do this, Hispanics, Asians, Caucasians. When they don't know their faith, they start reverting back to paganism. And these young women, they admit that they're tapping back to what they call the Lukumi West African religion brought to the Americas by slaves. And they admit in the video that they call it witchcraft. I'm not calling it witchcraft. I'm repeating what they're saying. They're admitting it's witchcraft. They say they cast spells. They call themselves a coven, which is, by the way, that's a gathering of witches. They said that they use sigils. By the way, these are symbols that are it's basically like dial up a demon. It's called a demon. These are sigils. That's what they are. They also admit in the video that they use the term divination, which is condemned in scripture. They use crystals, which is again a new age witchcraft type of relic or sacramental.
I got one for you, Jess. They call themselves, at least the higher practitioners, priestesses, okay? Which automatically brings the religious aspect into it without a doubt, right? Because we know that a priest is a person who represents man to God, right? That's what a priest is.
Yeah.
And so a priestess, you know, she's basically saying that she's representing man to God, only it's the God of this world and not the God of sacred scripture.
That's right. And that's something very interesting for those that are just biblically minded. In the Old Testament, out of all the religions in the Old Testament, the only religion that did not have priestesses was Old Testament Judaism. All the Praise other God. Pagan religions had priestesses and priests. The Jews were the only one that had priests. And it's something interesting. The reason you can only be a male and a priest is not because men are better, but the actual word priest in Hebrew, it actually means the bearded ones. The bearded, think about. So the word priest in Hebrew, it actually gives you one of the criterias that the gender has to be male because women don't look good in beards, Paul.
Yeah, there's a few of them out there with a few whiskers out there these days, yes. But I got your point loud and clear. And listen, Jess, am I on to something when I understand that God is, you know, he has set up the
patriarchy.
Thank you. Woo. He has set that up, and so this idea of this empowerment of women, hint the feminist movement and so forth, and women priestesses is again designed, another design from Satan to just attack everything good and everything ordered and everything structured by God. Sacred scripture commands women, submit yourself unto your husbands. You know, if you say that these days, they're ready to, you know, lynch you and, you know, and chase you down and burn you for saying something like that. But see, God is the God of order, Jess, and he knows what's best for us.
That's right, Paul. God represents order and cleanliness. Satan represents disorder and unclean practices. Everything that these young women are doing, Paul, they're unclean practices. They admit they made reference to a broom in a closet. They call what they do superstitious practices. By the way, everything they mention is condemned by God's word. These are unclean practices. They also admit that they communicate with their ancestors. Well, this ancestral communication, once again,
forbidden
by scripture, called necromancy. And again, they say that they borrowed this from the African pagan religions. All the pagan cultures have had this ancestral worship. But I'll tell you why the scripture condemns this, and the Catholic Church says, is that a lot of these well-intentioned people think that they're communicating with their ancestors. First of all, it's forbidden to try to communicate with the dead, and I'll tell you why theologically. Because demons see that you have this spiritual gluttony to try to tap into the spiritual realm, which you have no authority to do. And what demons will do, they will interpose themselves and start communicating with you. And here you are, think you're talking to Uncle Bob that died 5 years ago, and it's a demon with Uncle Bob's voice talking to you. And now what happens? You're entangled in a relationship with a demon, and you're thinking it's Uncle Bob, and you tell people, I'm telling you, guy, he talks to me all the time, and he gives me...
Yeah, he tells me things only Uncle Bob could know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, listen. Hey, you know, now if you're listening out there and you happen to be a student of the Word of God, you might say, well, what about King Saul? What about when he entreated the witch of Endor? You know, Jess, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, King Saul, remember, he paid the price for it. King Saul basically died violating that precept, which is necromancy. And the prophet Samuel that appeared to him, remember, God permitting, God can do anything. Even though Saul violated what God has clearly commanded, God permitted Samuel to come up and talk to King Saul. But the fact is, Paul, is that it's still forbidden by God's word, and Saul paid for it. Saul died, probably died in mortal sin, talking with witches and stuff. And so, though God permitted it by his divine permission, Samuel rebuked him when he came up. He says, "What are you doing? Call me up from the dead." And so, this is condemned by the church by Deuteronomy chapter 18. When you start conjuring the next world, you don't know what you're going to get. That's the bottom line, Paul.
That's right. You know, and that's why I love the Bible. And that's how you know the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God, Jess, because it's not feel-good reading. The Bible tells it like it is. And in the case of Saul, what he did something that God had expressly commanded against. Yes. And God, you know, hey, what a man sows, he'll reap. I mean, we all know the type of death that Saul ended up dying. Listen, the Bible tells you just like it is. It doesn't sugarcoat it. And as Jess said, in this case, God chose to intervene. Because why? Saul was God's anointed. Saul was the king of Israel. And so God wanted to intercede. Thank God that he interceded there, and it was actually Samuel who popped up and not some demon.
Yeah, that's right. And Samuel told him, "What the heck are you doing? Don't do this again."
Yeah.
Basically rebuked him, and that was the message from God.
Amen.
And so, go ahead, Paul.
Did you hear that comment, Jess, that the one said, "The Bible is the biggest spell book known to man," she said.
God.
And the problem is we just don't know how to use it.
Unbelievable. You know, again, Paul.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jess.
Again, that's the a lot of people and stuff are just so biblically illiterate. Does the Bible describe witchcraft and some of these other occult practices? Yeah, it's descriptive in the Bible. It's not proscripted. In other words, it's not prescribing it. It's describing evil practices.
That's and right. So, just like it talks about the sinfulness of man, it tells us all about ourselves, but it doesn't endorse that type of...
Bingo. That's exactly the point I'm making. Right.
Yep.
And so, Paul, I'll tell you what all these young girls had in common. None of them knew their faith, okay? When the one the one young witch that said, Jesus is one of the most toxic relationships I ever had. Well, I don't know what Jesus she's talking about. It must be the other Jesus that St. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's not the Lord God Almighty, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity that'll have a toxic relationship with anybody.
Yeah.
And she also says, well, I prayed to Jesus and he never showed up. Again, she misunderstands the theology of prayer. Prayer is communication with God, and first and foremost, prayer isn't I'm going to just hit a couple of buttons and I'm going to get whatever I feel like. Like I go to Jack in the Box or McDonald's and I'm going to say something and I'm going to get exactly what I ordered. That's not the theology of prayer, Paul.
Yeah, unless you happen to be going to a form of Christianity, Jess, that essentially looks at God like he's a divine genie in the sky. And if you basically, he's acting upon our command. And that's, what I'm talking about is the word faith teaching that basically says, if you do this, God will do this, and if you just adhere to these certain principles, God has to bless you. And, you hear these people say, give me my blessing. The most selfish theology you ever heard of, Jess. I'm just reminded of sacred scripture again, where, sacred scripture tells us that do not love this world nor the things in the world, for the world is passing away. We don't focus in on earthly goods and as if we're going to be on this planet forever. As a matter of fact, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel, Jesus says, will find it. And that's where it's about, folks. And we need to just keep focused on Jesus, focused on the truth, focused on the one true faith, the Holy Catholic Church.
Yes, amen. Yep, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And remember, the ship that he gave us is called the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is the bark of Peter.
Yes. You
don't jump off the bark to the left or to the right, because you're going to go into shark-infested waters. Jesus 911, we're talking about witchcraft and Catholicism. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Come, Holy Spirit, come by the powerful intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, your most well-beloved spouse. Jesus 911, Paul Clay, Jess Romero. We're talking about a couple of young ladies that have left Christianity and have embraced witchcraft. We just played a video. Paul, one of them crossed the line and she blasphemed the Catholic faith. She's a fallen away Catholic. She called Catholicism the same as witchcraft. Once again, a malformed Catholic. And this is what's called syncretism, something that St. Paul categorically rejects. What does light have to do with darkness? What does Beelzebub have to do with the Lord? You cannot mix Catholicism with anything else. And yet this young girl says, oh yeah, Catholicism, it's just like witchcraft. It's like the same thing. She also says, these are just malformed. This was a malformed Catholic. And this is why the Bible says that we're called to, 1 Peter 3:15, reverence Christ in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer and a reason for the hope that lies within you. We're called to know our faith so we can give answers to our faith.
Yep. So Jess, when you talked about syncretism, it just reminded me of Israel in the Bible, particularly northern Israel. At the time of Jesus, there was a group of people who lived there known as the Samaritans. And the Samaritans in their history had basically mixed Judaism in with five other pagan religions. And that's why during the time of Jesus, people would go to great lengths not to even walk through Samaria. And so if we can learn that lesson that that was true, that we should avoid at all costs syncretism and this tendency to try to want to blend the truth of God with the lies of Satan, because that's exactly what happened in the garden. Satan gave some of God's truth to Eve, but he also mixed it with a lie, his lie, and that caused the fall, what we know as the fall, which is the greatest devastation that happened to mankind.
Amen. And the greatest thing came from the fall, the redemption of the human race.
But God. Yeah, but right. God. Those are two words.
Yeah, but for God.
Exactly. I love that because God is a father, right? And God is not going to let us,
He hasn't left us
fall off.
That's yes. Right. He has not left us orphans. He's a father who keeps his promises. Paul, one of the things that witchcraft is, it's part of the political left today. They're well-funded. They have millionaires in their pockets. Black Lives Matter was started, in fact, by three practicing witches who happen to be young black ladies who are now part of the political left. I remember during when President Trump was in office, they would have on social media, and of course, none of the social media tech giants ever banned them, they would have monthly cursing, hexing, and incantation sessions against President Trump in the White House. They would do it in an organized manner on all over the social media platforms. Of witches would gather once a month to curse a president. And so what I also see here, Paul, is these are also the fruits of the whole Harry Potter craze, which is now mainstream, and it's now basically in vogue, and it's fashionable.
I thought Harry Potter was an innocent movie, Jess. I thought that we should let our children just watch it, and it's just some innocuous little movie that's innocent. Hey, you know what I see clearly, Jess? Thank you, Lord, for giving us this insight. What I see is the Democrat Party, who has embraced, by the way, Black Lives Matters, established by three professing witches. Professing Marxists. I see communism, the Communist Manifesto, who was dedicated to Satan, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see the Democratic Party, who has basically embraced these socialist communist ideas, who also incorporates these organizations that have embraced witchcraft, who also is the party that is exterminating us by killing our babies, particularly black and brown babies, I might add. Planned Parenthood started by a eugenicist, you know what I mean? Jess, I see all this coming together as, listen, Satan is alive and well. And we in the church, if the bishops, if any priests are out there listening, we have to. The only way that we can come out of this is to renew our faith, is to fall on our face, is to receive Amen. The sacraments, is to live a holy life, Jess. This is the message that we need to embrace.
That's right. And I'll tell you why these young black ladies have embraced witchcraft. They're the product, Paul, of the barren fruits of Protestantism, and one of them is a product of lukewarm Catholicism. And so this is why not only blacks leave Christianity, but anybody will leave Christianity for the occult or a cult. And the reason is, if they never encounter the truth of Jesus Christ in the Catholic faith, and I'm talking about the real gospel.
And that's right.
Because, Paul, a lot of the black Protestant churches, they focus on more on emotionalism and revivalism, and that, Paul, that can't hold a person's interest from one week to another? Because what if you don't feel like going this Sunday and raising your hand and shouting for 2 hours and singing hallelujah at the top of your voice? What if you don't feel like doing it this Sunday? You got a headache or something, or you know, you got a bellyache from something you ate last night. In other words, emotionalism and feelings and revivalism are not the measure of orthodoxy or Christianity or a relationship with God. And so I
that's again, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm just reminded in that little video, the lady who said, I'm a former worship leader in the Christian church. She said, I didn't feel a personal connection to God. Well, guess what, folks? Our relationship with God is not dependent on the way we feel.
That's right.
It is not subjective. Can you imagine what how, you know, how Christianity would be this the most ridiculous religion in the world if it was depending on subjective feelings, Jess?
Absolutely.
We have objective truth.
Yeah.
We have Jesus Christ, the God of all creation, the second God, the Son, God the Son, the second person in the Holy Trinity, came down and he entered into human existence in order to save us objectively. He really did die on that cross, Jess.
Yeah, this is objective Christianity. The second person of the Trinity became a man, died for our sins. He paid the price on Calvary for us. It's called objective redemption. He loves us, and there's nothing we can do about that. We can't change that. He loves us even the way we are, but he loves us so much he wants us to change. And he created a place called heaven for all of us. And God wishes that every man would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wishes. And Paul, I will tell you something that the internet has made witchcraft and the occult popular, the mainstream media. Because I remember back, you know, in 2002 when the Harry Potter craze showed up, you know, the movies and the books, it started creating this interest in witchcraft and sorcery for our kids, and this even went right into the city schools, into the suburbs.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Paul, you know, people were starting to get more, you know, interested in you know, Dungeons and Dragons and
World
of Warcraft, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes,
you know,
Jess, do you see a pattern here? By the way, what the Hollywood crowd, Jess. Which is the party that they embrace? Oh, it's the Democrat Party. Hollywood here is involved in making these movies that are introducing people to these pagan practices.
Absolutely.
If you can't see it, folks, open up your eyes. This is obviously all of these allies of the enemy are all lining up, coalescing together in order to once and for all stamp out the truth of God's word. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil, and yet we know Our Lady told us, you know, that there would be a falling away, Jess, before he comes. And that's what we're witnessing right now, Jess. We're living in the time of that falling away. We're seeing the fruits. For every action, there's a reaction. We live in what they call a post-Christian era, and as a result, we have you don't want God? Okay. Guess what? What a man sows, he shall reap. You made your bed, now lie in it. And so the restrainer now is being lifted, and we're witnessing, like the days of Noah, wickedness on the hearts of man continuously.
That's right. Amen, Paul, preach it. And yep. I can tell you this, that witchcraft, Paul, is simply it's simply a pacifier. It's a cheap imitation of the real thing. It wants them. It makes people feel spiritual. It makes people feel important at the cost of your soul. This is exactly what St. Paul would. This would fall under what St. Paul would say, a doctrine of demons, and something very interesting. The Bible it talks about witchcraft. It calls witchcraft the sin of rebellion against who? Rebellion against God. And by the way, in the Old Testament, witches and sorcerers, 2 Kings 17:17, 2 Chronicles 33:6, they practiced human sacrifice. Let me say it again. In the Old Testament, sorcerers and witches, 2 Kings 17:17, 2 Chronicles 33:6, they practiced human sacrifice. And I'll tell you what witchcraft, once again, witchcraft is spiritual prostitution. This is spiritual rebellion. Somebody who desires to be a spiritual leader and a spiritual warrior and not playing by God's rules, but playing by Satan's rules.
Yeah. And don't be naive, folks. If they practiced human sacrifice back in the Old Testament, I'm going to go with Solomon when he said, there's nothing new under the sun. And I would venture to say that these things are being practiced today.
Amen. Well, that's a wrap. Jesus 911, Psalm 69, verse 2. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to bring conversion and illumination into the hearts and minds of these three young witches and every other fallen away Catholic who's practiced witchcraft. Bring them home, Holy Spirit. Bring them home. Paul, another great show. Thanks a lot. This is a wrap.
Thank you, Jess.
Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. And as St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Amen.